Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to The Tinderbox. We are the podcast for Matchsticks and Gasoline, the Calgary Flames website for SB Nation. It's Mark, Maddie, and Michael today, and I don't know why I sound so chipper, because we all were fairly angry in the start of this podcast. Last night, the Calgary Flames lose to the Ottawa Senators 6-1. We're going to skip the pleasantries. We're going to jump right in. Michael, have at it.
Okay, I'm at the end of my rope with this team, mostly because they've become so darn predictable. Like, for whatever reason, they came out and played well against Toronto. And I was saying all week, they're going to win one or two against the Leafs, look really good. And then they're going to turn around and they're just going to get smoked by Ottawa. And lo and behold, that happened. But like, to the extent we saw it coming, at the same time, I don't think anyone saw them just getting absolutely steamrolled by an Ottawa team who has only won like six games this year and looked like they shouldn't have been in the NHL up until like a week ago. And it's a fundamental failure of this organization to even give the star players, like anyone good around them. The coaching staff is making questionable decisions. Like, it's just a joke right now from top to bottom. And I know I said last week that's like maybe it's time the Flames make a deal to like bring in someone. But at this point, I'm at the point where, you know, if you're not going to be, if there's a player who's not going to be valuable to the team in 3 years, I think you just break things up, get people moving out, because it's an absolute joke right now how this team is being run. And for me, I have no hope that they're going to really turn around much more than 500 the rest of the way, finish like 12th, get a crappy draft pick, and it's just going to be a mess from there on out. But yeah, that's how I feel so far, Mark.
Oh, all right, Michael, tell us how you really feel. Maddie, you got anything you want to piggyback on there with that Michael put out?
There's a lot happening there. I feel like I'm in this weird spot where I'm obviously upset about how things are going because it's bad, but maybe I've been just so beaten down by when the Flyers were bad a couple years ago that this can't hurt me as much anymore. So I'm like functioning, I think, which is a weird feeling to have. But yeah, I honestly agree with everything that Michael said. And I've been thinking a lot about, and I think we're going to touch on this in a bit, like, what do you do at this point? Like, how do you fix this? Do you even try to salvage the season? And like, how much do you want to rock the boat going forward? I don't know. I'm interested in what you guys think. Like,
yeah, no, we will definitely touch upon
to make.
Yeah, we'll hop into that next, but just to finish up, like that game last night, the Flames are very, very easy to predict. You can watch the first 2 or 3 minutes of a game and know exactly where it's going. And my son and I were sitting down on the couch watching the game last night, and like 3 minutes into that game, he was like, nah, this isn't going to be good. And it's like, it's predictable. You knew it right from the get-go that it was going to be bad. And Riddick last night, if we want to jump into him, I don't really want to recap much more of that game. But Riddick last night, I don't think for the most part was bad. Yeah, the goal from center ice is terrible. That's like, that's an abomination. That's got to be stopped. But that happens to goalies. Connor Hellebuck is 3 times the goalie David Riddick is, and the Flames did that to him this year. That's how Tanev has his only goal. So it happens, right? The other 3 goals, I don't really have a problem with. He was screened on him. My thing with Riddick that I had the problem with him leaving last night and the post-game show and today on the radio, it even kind of got blown off a little bit. I don't like the fact that he walked down the tunnel and with full force headbutted a door with his helmet on. Like I had visions of Gus Frerotte when he played for the formerly Washington football team, where he ran into the end zone, scored a touchdown, slammed his helmet into the goalpost and knocked himself out. Like, just stupid. Like, I get it. Riddick runs really hot, but I don't think Riddick had a lot to be upset about. Maybe that long goal was bothering him. But Michael, if you want to jump in here, like, Riddick last night, I didn't think it was too bad, but did they put too much on him asking him to go 3 nights?
I mean, I don't think it was too much or anything, but it was just clearly like the mistakes the team made around him last night to give up those first 3 goals were just I get why he's pissed off. Like you said, he's always run hot, and to see him do that, like, you're totally right. It's totally stupid how he's evolved from just doing like a stick break, which I think is kind of bad enough, to doing these kind of crazy shenanigans. And you're right, I don't think he's going to learn not to do something until he gets a serious injury from doing something stupid, because although it wasn't a good game, he still played fine for what we were expecting, and he's coming off two other great games. Like, I just don't get why he has to go that little bit over the top. I know everyone gets pissed off, but like, thank God he's not a skater who's like gonna two-hand someone in the back of the head when he's pissed off. At least he's in the net most of the time when he's mad. Like, it's, I don't get it. I'm kind of at the end of my rope with it too.
Yeah, I agree. And that's kind of like, that's this type of thing is kind of how Riddick has been, like two masterpieces where you're like, oh, we've got this, the Flames have two. I just said we. I hate when people do that. I don't play for the team. That drives me insane. Riddick has, he's had two really good performances where he looks otherworldly, and then he has a game where it's not so good. And then that's, I feel like everything has to be perfect, or it gets really gets into his headspace. Now, Maddie, I don't know if this is a fair question to ask. If it's not, just say it isn't, and I'll try to answer it. But would last night, if the Flames had lost 6-1 and Zaggy Doolin had gotten the start instead of Riddick, and they had lost 6-1, would you be upset, or do you think it would be that bad? Because it was like, all right, it's the backup, he's getting in, it's his first start, it's his first action. Should they have started him and maybe just bit the bullet and be like, all right, we lose it with the backup, we lose it with the backup?
I probably would have started him just like to give Riddick a break. I mean, as a sort of sidebar, do we know sort of specifically what's up with Markstrom? I'm worried that he got hurt from them starting him too many games in a row. So I just in general have some feelings about the goalie management so far this season. So kind of coming from that place, I think it wouldn't have been a horrible idea to give Riddick a night off, but yeah.
Yeah, Markstrom's thing is they've said it's an upper body injury. It's still, he's, I guess, scheduled to come off IR tomorrow. So he could play Saturday if needed. But the rumor, not the rumor, but the theory floating around is the night that he decided to throw two hellacious body checks against Vancouver is probably what ended up giving him his upper body injury. So, Well, welcome to crazy Flames goalies. Nobody's normal. I mean, goalies aren't normal anyway, but it seems like the Flames now have two absolute complete lunatics between the pipes. Michael, do you have any thoughts on that? Would you have been okay with Zaggy Doolin starting and them losing 6-1 as opposed to Riddick, you know, and having to go through a little bit of that drama?
Well, my opinion going into the game yesterday was like you had to start Riddick just because you couldn't afford a loss to Ottawa by maybe trying out a rookie goalie with no NHL experience. But now the fact is that they played Riddick, got shelled, lost, and now they still don't know if they need to give Riddick rest or not. They're kind of doubly in a terrible position now because, like, if I think they were saying in the broadcast, if you start Riddick on Saturday, that's like four games in 5.5-ish days that, like, at that point, you're definitely overworking him. But, like, I thought you had to at least go with him last night on the expectation that if he was in, the Flames would probably win. Whereas if Zaggy Doolin was in, you kind of had no idea. But the fact that it just fell apart the way it did, now the Flames are in even a tougher position than they were yesterday, in my opinion.
Yep, no, 100%. I agree. Let's jump real quickly. You know, I think everybody said, like, oh, if they win, you know, 3 out of 4, that's good. But they technically have 5 against Ottawa. They get the 3 in, right? Is it 4 in Ottawa, or is it 4 games? Correct me, somebody help me here. I get the schedule, Michael. They have 3 in Ottawa, then they come back to Calgary for 1, right?
Yeah, and then I think it's like Edmonton and then another one against Ottawa.
Then Toronto. Sorry, so out of these next 4 games, my show prep is amazing. So Calgary's got to sweep at this point, right? They've got to take these next 3 games. If they split with Ottawa, something has to be done, right? Maddie, what do you think? If they can't take 3 out of 4 from, should have taken 4 out of 4. They can't take 3 out of 4. Do the Flames have to do something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm of the opinion that they should do something anyway.
Fair enough.
Winning like one more game against the Senators really isn't going to move the needle for me. But I do think if they to get swept there, then that's the death knell, as it were.
Michael, what do you think? If they go 1-3 or 2-2 against Ottawa, is it time to really shake things up?
Well, yeah, my opinion now is that I wouldn't be shocked if they only end up with like a split out of Ottawa just because the Senators seem to have finally gotten it all together. Like, I watched quite a bit of them just because I've been bored the last few months. Like, I watched quite a bit of them at the start of the year. They didn't even look like an NHL team. But over the last couple of weeks, they've kind of been getting it together. So it's kind of too bad the Flames didn't get a few freebies against them early in the year when they weren't playing well. But yeah, if they can't get at least, like, I would say 5 out of 6 points over these next 3 games, like, at that point, you're pretty much done. And anyways, your only hope really of even making the playoffs at this point is catching Montreal, because the Jets, the Oilers, and the Maple Leafs are too far away at this point to even be realistic to catch with about half the season left.
Yeah, and actually, we can jump into the Maple Leafs real quick. And I think this is going to lead into, I think, what we can talk about after the break. I'm a big fan of, I think if the Flames don't win the next three, Jeff Ward's got to go. And I think it starts there. And you don't even have to bring in, you don't have to go sign Claude Julien. You don't have to do anything at that point. If you fired your coach at that point, just give Ryan Huska the keys. And we'll get into that, I think, after we come back from break. But I want to quickly touch upon Toronto. And I think I was more angry. I was really angry at the end of the Toronto game. I thought Rittich got screwed. He played so well in that game. Again, another game where Calgary's goaltender has done all the work and kept them in a game. Mangiapane gets that great goal. The Flames are up 1-0. There's a little around 3 minutes left. Lindholm comes down, empty net, hits the pipe. Toronto goes the other way, scores. I wish Ward had at least challenged for goaltender interference. I get it if he loses, it's a penalty, and Toronto gets a power play with what was like a minute or so left in the game. And it's not a team you want to give a power play at that point in the game. But still, like, do something, like challenge the play at least, because I hate the play it safe. We'll at least get to overtime and take a point. Maybe that can be a podcast for another day. I hate the fact that if you don't win, you at least get a point. Like, this isn't youth soccer or Little League Baseball. Win the damn game and get the points. Ties don't count for anything. I hate that. It drives me insane. And I hate that teams play that way. I was pissed at Ward for not taking a timeout there to at least challenge it. Then they go to freaking overtime. And the first line you put out there in overtime is what? Lindholm, Tkachuk, and Rasmus Anderson, which is an okay line, but I'm not starting overtime with that group. And then your second grouping that goes out is Gaudreau, Monahan, and Giordano. Nylander comes down the ice and skates around Sean Monahan like he's skating around me. Monahan didn't even move. Gio stood there, watched him come in, goals in, Rittich screwed. Like I don't understand Ward's coaching decisions. I think I'm at the point where I just had it with Jeff Ward. Like, the no timeout, the, you know, you don't have your best grouping on the ice at the end of the game. You don't have your best grouping on the ice in overtime. You go into overtime, your lineup should be Gaudreau, Lindholm, Tkachuk, and those three. And then your second grouping is Mangiapane. Give me somebody else. Throw some Mangiapane, Rasmus Anderson, and Michael Backlund. You know, like, build it stacked like that. Like, this, like, mix of, like, here and here, we got to have a defenseman. Screw defense. Just take the puck in, shoot, and score. I'm done. I'm absolutely over Jeff Ward. I can't do it anymore. Anybody else want Jeff Ward gone besides me?
Whew. Yeah. To be completely honest, after, like, when they got that initial bump when he was first, like, made interim coach, that was good, and they were, you know, finding some success there. But I think once they started to come back down to earth after that, I've been not super high on him since then. Just like his particular style, I don't love. And I don't know, I feel a little bit bad. I'm kind of also getting the feeling that he's just a little bit out of his depth here, head coaching at the NHL level. And that's not like his fault per se. So I do put some blame on management there for not like recognizing that this is a problem and we should be working towards fixing it. Even if they want to offer to let him go back to assistant coaching, I mean, I don't know if he would at this point, but like, right, you got to do something, you know, like, you're running the team, you got to recognize the problem and you got to do something.
No, I completely agree. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the Tinderbox. When we come back, we're going to talk probably a little bit more about coaching, some youth, and to quote my favorite band, Megadeth, where do we go from here? And should we really care? We'll be right back on the Tinderbox.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
And welcome back to the Tinderbox. We are the podcast for Matchsticks and Gasoline, the Calgary Flames website for SB Nation. Mark, Michael, Maddie today. We just finished bashing the Flames and Jeff Ward. We're going to probably continue that on this side. Michael, Maddie and I both said we're kind of over Jeff Ward. If you're over Jeff Ward, do you go sign a big name coach like Claude Julien, or do you just kind of chalk this up as it's a 56 game season? We're probably not going to get in. And if we do get in, we're getting bounced early. Do you give the keys to Ryan Huska and then just say, hey, forget this taxi squad of Zach Rinaldo and his 3 minutes, no shots on ice for a goal, Buddy Robinson, Richie, who else? All these taxi squad guys. Do you just say screw it with those guys, put them aside and give guys like Glenn Gaudin more time on the ice? Call up Matthew Phillips, call up Rozicka. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you absolutely have to. I think you have to look internally, at least for the rest of the season, if they decide to move on from Ward. But I just wanted to touch really quick on how frustrated I've been with just, like, even the statements from Ward the last few games. Like, I just thought he had the complete audacity to come out and say after the Leafs games that he thought they'd been playing their best defense of the season. As a matter of fact, the only reason they even allowed those two goals in those two games was because David Rittich played like he was Dominic Hasek, for goodness sakes. Like, it wasn't the Flames playing shutdown defense against the Leafs by any means. Like, yes, they had a good penalty kill for a couple of games, but if David Rittich wasn't playing at, like, a Hall of Fame goaltender level, that they probably would have been shelled both games, or at the very least maybe had a shot in the first game, would have been shelled in the second game. Like, for him to come out and think this team is, like, ahead of where they were before defensively is an absolute joke. I think we've seen over the last few weeks they've given up like 3, 4, 5, 6 goals most games while only scoring one. And I understand Ward's a defensive coach, and like when he was first hired, the team needed that. They were playing run and gun, like 5-4 style games and losing. But now to flip the switch completely the other way to where they're only scoring one goal a game, I think it was 6 of the last 8 games they have one goal. And to have him just like completely have neutered this team's offense to the point where it's like, I think it was something like one in the last 27 periods they have more than one goal in a period. Like, it's just ridiculous how bad this team is. And for Ward to be coming out all snazzy after the game, like, oh, at least we got a point and our defense looks good. Like, no, it's not. You have no idea what you're doing. And this team is going to fall apart because you absolutely have no clue. And I think at this point, like you were saying, the team is kind of just waiting for that shoe to drop because they can tell he has no idea what he's doing either.
Now, to piggyback on that, Matt, if you want to jump in once I finish, if that is the case, then shame on the Flames leaders, shame on the veterans, like shame on the captain and Backlund and Tkachuk and, you know, Monahan, you got a letter on your shirt, like step up. Like if your coach is in over his head, right, that's where your players, if they recognize that, have to take control of that on the ice and be better players, better people, work with. I understand it's pro sports, right? Not he is Maddie. You are right. I think he is in way over his head, and that's not his fault. If the Flames called me tomorrow and said, hey, you want to coach? I'd be like, oh yeah, let's go. You know, nobody's turning down the chance to coach. There's only so many NHL head coaching jobs, right? However, like if you're in over your head and you're Mark Giordano and you see that happening, don't you have to like take control of that on the ice as a player, as a leader?
You would think. Yeah, I don't know how much I have to add to it, but it's a good question to ask. I don't know if there's like a super easy answer to it, but like you would think they would try something.
Yeah, and in these players only meetings don't work, because the last players only meeting they neutered Tkachuk, and we saw how that worked out. Sam Bennett looked better than him, for crying out loud, when he was out there. You know, it's just like I just don't get the leadership on this team. If your coach is in over its head and you know it and you see it, you don't play for him to lose. Like, I feel like you got to help him somehow on the ice by just being better leaders, better people. Michael, does that make sense? Am I just kind of at that point in the season where I'm just like, whatever, there's only what, 40 games left or 30 games left?
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, as hard as it was on Ward just now, that last rant, like it's top to bottom. Like players, coaches, management has no money to make a big move to bring someone in. Like it's just a top to bottom failure. You'd have to hope like guys are stepping up, but outside of the few guys we've seen who seem to be really trying every night, really hate losing, guys like Mangiapane, even Gaudreau, I know people are very off and on with him, as we've seen with that great article you wrote last week, but like Mangiapane, Gaudreau, Tkachuk, when he's playing well, seems to care, like Anderson, Markstrom, like outside of those guys, like we're not really seeing anybody step up. We're just seeing a bunch of guys who are showing up to collect a paycheck at this point.
Okay, so now let's jump into that. Players are obviously the problem. We have some leadership issues. And thank you, Michael, for mentioning the Gaudreau piece, because I still, to this day, as much as I have been critical of him in the past, I think he is somebody you have to be on, have on your team to build around. And yes, the playoffs have been tough for him, but guess what? The Flames have sucked in the playoffs top to bottom for a very long time. Nobody's been good. Okay, when the benchmark is, well, Sam Bennett played okay. He was skating and, you know, he held on to his stick for the game, so that was good. Like, that can't be, you know, that can't be your benchmark for what's great in the playoffs. So I get that, but I'm sorry, you just don't get rid of elite offensive talent like that, because guess what? When a generational player like that is gone, he's gone. He ain't coming back, and there's nobody else that's going to take that spot. So so who do you get rid of? Like, who do you move on from? I'll throw out two names out there, because I think they're the easiest names to peddle, and I think it's Monahan and Gio. As much as I love Mark Giordano, I think I said last week, he's like, watching his car drive off a cliff, like, it's sad. I don't like watching it, so I'd rather not have it happen in front of me. But I think he's got to go as a leader. I think he's not going to give up the C, and I know that's kind of an overrated thing, but he's still the de facto leader of the team, right? I think he's got to go. And Sean Monahan, the last 2-3 years, has just done nothing to impress me. His numbers look good now because he padded himself early, and he had like a 3-game run in the last week and a half where he was decent. But Monahan, if he's not being like literally handed the puck and then thrown into the net, he doesn't create his own offense. He doesn't play defense. Who would you get rid of? Maddie, do you have two Flames or a couple or?
This is something I've like really struggled with. I think Monahan is probably at the top of my list, but to do it in season, you know that you're going to be selling low on these guys. So yeah, I don't know how much you would gain from maybe waiting until the off season and doing some house clearing at that point. But I do think if you're, you know, the Flames management group and you're looking long-term, and I don't want to say rebuilding, but, you know, trying to acquire pieces to, you know, help you some more in the long term, you do have to be aware of what a player's value is at a given point. So you're not going to get the best return at this point. You're just not. So
that's fair. That's fair.
They're in a really tough spot right now. And I definitely don't envy for a living right now.
That's all right. Michael, to hop on Maddie's point about return value, which you're never going to get, you know, a dollar for a dollar, obviously, but like, does Sean Monahan have much value anymore? Does Mark Giordano have much value anymore? You know, are they going to get a low level draft pick for either of those guys?
Well, yeah, I think the old saying is something along the lines of, when your team is sinking, other teams aren't going to throw you a lifeline. They're going to throw you an anchor. And that's kind of how the Flames would be going into any kind of trade negotiation with Sean Monahan, like to another team, unless you look at a team like, I know it's crazy, but like Jack Eichel, if he ever decides he publicly wants out of Buffalo, then maybe you have some kind of leverage. But like Maddie was saying, as much as we want to move Sean Monahan, you're going to not get too much for him now. But I'm fully on board at this point with like even doing that regardless, because we've known for years that he is pretty much just the product of whatever Johnny Gaudreau can create for him. Like, I remember, I think it was like his first All-Star game for Gaudreau, where Voracek did that thing where he brought Gaudreau to pretended he was a kid and brought him in front. He swept the puck, and that's basically what Gaudreau's been doing with Monahan for the better part of 5 years now. And like, he gets everything done for Monahan. He tells him where to stand. He just goes and stands there and he flicks the puck into the net. Like, at some point, I think Johnny Gaudreau deserves a lot better. And even if you have to risk trading Monahan for pennies on the dollar just to open up that spot next to Gaudreau, like, I think it's something the Flames have to at least consider and start looking a bit more to the future, because right now it's not working. And any time you waste with him just kind of holding that spot is a time that you could be trying other guys out or getting other pieces in that might have a better shot performing for this team in a couple of years down the road.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And, I can think you can see that, like, you don't want to waste, and they're completely different players. So I, please, for the love of God, anybody who listens to this, I'm not comparing these two people based on their game, their physical stature, but for how long did the Flames waste Jerome McGinley? Michael, how, like, how long, how many years?
Pretty much the whole time.
All of them. Exactly. Right.
At least probably the last five or six, probably.
Yeah, never really played with a real true number one center, right? And it's been a big thing in Calgary for a long time. Gaudreau the same way. Gaudreau's never had that dynamic guy in the middle. I mean, he and Monahan worked fairly well, you know, so we can't say that it never worked, but it's never been consistent. And I don't know, maybe Lindholm's probably not that true number one center, so maybe you don't pair them together. Do you need a guy like that, maybe, Maddie? I just feel like the Flames are kind of like, hey, we have something. It's nice and it's shiny. Let's just break it. Like, they don't do anything to, you know, just keep that one piece. They never try to grow it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just like letting that one sink in. Like, yeah. Oh, that's a pretty brutal realization. I wanted to circle back for one second.
Yeah, go circle.
While Michael was talking, I just had like a light bulb go off. while going back to what I said about you're not going to get probably top value return for, you know, guys you're trading right now. You could probably find a desperate team to take somebody. We've been talking a lot in Flyers land about them possibly picking up Matthias Ekholm, who's allegedly on the trade block in Nashville. And I'm like, the Flyers could really use defense, and I bet you could get something from them for Giordano. I'm like,
No, I don't. Michael, would you rather trade Gio now, say if Philly came calling, or would you rather wait and expose him and hope that Seattle takes him?
I mean, I think you had to take whatever you could get for him now in theory, just and let some of these young guys kind of roll with it, because at first I thought I was going to give Giordano the benefit of the doubt that he didn't have preseason games and he was just kind of slow getting off the mark, but we're 20 games in now, and it's clearly not just a no training camp thing for him. It's clearly he's 38 and he's finally hit that cliff we've been waiting for.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And let's circle back again. Let's go back to defense there as we're talking. You said mention young guys. What did Oliver Shillington do to get yanked out of the lineup for Nesterov back in the other night? I thought Shillington looked fantastic the other night. What is this organization? What do they have on him, or what does he have? Like, what is going on? Because I don't think Shillington deserved to be out of the lineup. Does anybody? I don't think I'm wildly off on that. No, anybody?
No, I definitely agree. And I don't know. It baffles me. And I know there have been some consistency issues, but like, the thing is, to get more consistent, you have to get reps to work out the bugs in your game.
What?
So punishing a player by sitting them for not being consistent is just like, it blows my mind. Like, I just don't understand.
Oh, Maddie, you just brings such, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, common sense to the issue. You know?
We don't do that in Flames land, Maddie.
Right?
Oh, sorry.
But Michael, really, like, I mean, Connor Mackey, I thought Mackey looked fine when he was there, too. Like, What is wrong with youth? Like, I think it goes back to the bottom six taxi squad trash bin, you know, with all those guys that are going to play 4 minutes and be garbage. Like, Glenn Gaudin has looked really good in the 12 minutes and three games that he's played. Like, it's a joke how much he's not playing, but he looks good out there when he's there. He doesn't look like a liability, you know? So like, why can't they just say, take all the other night? I don't need Ronaldo to fight on Saturday at 1 o'clock, 11 o'clock your time in the eye. I don't care. I don't want to see it. Okay. I don't care. Maybe I'm still holding a grudge for the number 36 thing, but whatever. Point is, I don't need to see it. I don't need to see Richie again. I don't need to see Buddy Robinson again. I don't need to see Nordstrom. I just don't need to see any of those guys. Give me youth. Let's just go throw them in there and learn on the fly.
Thoughts? Yeah. And I think this is just something that coaches get stuck on, this idea of like predictability and known commodities. And even if a player is going to be predictably bad, at least they know how they're going to be bad. And they would rather have that than, you know, a youngster who you don't exactly, you know, have a book on yet. And it feels so counterintuitive, but you see it all the time.
Yeah. And I don't understand that familiarity gets you fired. It gets you sub 500 records. Like, Michael, your thoughts? And Maddie, you're not wrong. I totally agree with you. I just think it's stupid.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I want to just circle back on the whole Shillington thing. Like, I've brought it up in the past. Like, I've never been a huge Shillington guy. Like, I've always kind of bought into the team doesn't really like him that much. And that's why they replaced him the last couple of deadlines. But, like, at some point, they either need to piss or get off the pot with him because he's pushing 23 now. And they keep being like, okay, here's a few games at a time, but, like, we're not happy because, like Maddie said, you're not consistent, but he's not getting the reps to get a chance to be consistent. And at some point, they need to either just move on from him, trade him. He's still probably a decent asset, or they need to give him a chance to develop. Like you said, Mark, I thought he was fine against Toronto. The only thing I saw from him I didn't like was that, not even really his fault, he fell a few times. Like, other than that, I thought he was a fine third-pairing guy. And yeah, to me, it's like, I don't know if he didn't go to like his Tree Living's barbecue as a rookie or something. Like, that's the only thing I can surmise why this team won't give him any kind of chance to succeed. And it's just, it drives me mad because now they're just flipping guys in that sixth spot because I think Ward thinks change is change and all change is good. And it's just, I'm losing it. Like, watching them just try a new guy every night and then wondering why they're not clicking chemistry wise.
Well, and you bring up the fact that, like, he doesn't get the time to be consistent. So the game that they decide to throw him in, they throw him in against the best team in the division, best team in the NHL at that point in Toronto. Like, oh, hey, kid, you want some experience here? Go stop Austin Matthews and go stop Michael Nylander. Or go stop Nylander. Go stop whatever, Toronto, the highest scoring team, the best power play, best everything in the league, right? We don't like you. Go play against them. And what does he do? He performs fine. I know the two plays you're talking about. He blew a tire in the corner at one point and the puck got turned over. It didn't lead to anything, which was fine. But, like, you give him the chance and then it's like you almost want him to fail. You set him up like, we'll put him in tonight and everybody will see how bad he is. And then he comes out and he plays well. Then you're like, we got to sit him. We can't. God forbid we let him get any traction. You know, and granted, Oliver Shillington wasn't going to make a difference in a 5-goal game last night. Whatever. But, like, it's maddening how they don't give him the chance to do stuff like that. Same thing with Mackey. Mackey looked good when he was in there. I think it's time to just, you know, take the like you said, they're not catching Toronto. They're not going to catch Edmonton or Winnipeg. And Montreal, if they, you know, they can settle things in with their coach, maybe they can flip it back around if Carey Price starts playing better. But, like, Ottawa's not getting in. And I don't think the Flames are getting in at this point. I mean, so why not just, I mean, you can't give up on it now, but if this fails in Ottawa, What's wrong with bringing up a big giant kid like Rogiczka who can skate, who can shoot, who can hit, who's, you know, give him a chance. How long has Phillips been in the minors? What, a year and a half now playing well, and he can't even sniff the NHL? But the Flames keep bringing up that same list of garbage off the taxi squad to throw in and fill in for a game for no reason. I mean, I don't get the anti-youth movement. I really don't. Unless they're afraid of the young guns era coming back and Blasty being here and it all getting sucked into that horrible vacuum of that time. I don't know. But is it odd, though, that Blasty came back and they started playing like they did during the Blasty era?
The Blasty curse.
It is. Yeah. So, I guess, you know, I don't get it. And maybe that all goes to coaching. Maybe that's management. I don't know. And if it is coaching and management, then screw it. They need to be done with both of them. You know, I think Tree Living does a really good job with contracts. He's done a really good job with the draft. His free agent signings are Mensa, you know, they're average. But if you're holding back young talent to put guys out there to play 4 minutes a game to bring energy, like this team of Gaudreau, Monahan, Backlund, Tkachuk, Giordano, Anderson, run down the list, Lindholm, Tanev, those guys shouldn't need a grinder to come up and punch some poor kid from Ottawa in the face to get them going. They really shouldn't. No?
Agreed.
Totally agree. I have nothing to add to that. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Cool. All right. Anybody else got anything they want to add before we shut down this rainbow of positivity that just is going to soar across the internet, sunshines and butterflies and ponies?
No? I'm trying to think of something because this has been a real downer, let me tell you.
Well, it's going to get it down. And I think actually within the next few games, they bring back those, the old Reebok jerseys too, like the, ones they the former current ones. So yeah, we'll just add another. We'll pile onto the garbage. Just, I think we'll just close it down at that. We want to thank you all for listening to this episode of the Tinderbox. If you liked it, or you didn't like it, or you now don't know what to do with your life, you can check us out on Google Podcast, on Spotify, and iTunes. Just search for Matchsticks and Gasoline, the Tinderbox, or Calgary Flames in any of the podcasts, and you will find us. You can find us on the internet at www.matchsticksandgasoline.com, and is a word, no ampersand. You can find us on Twitter at MatchsticksCGY, and we're also on Facebook. Just search up Matchsticks and Gasoline, and you'll find all the comments about how I'm such an idiot because I think Johnny Gaudreau is a good player to build around. Michael, Maddie, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and this was good. This was actually, we thought last week we had the Festivus poll. I think there were a lot of grievances there today, and I think we all did well. So have a great weekend. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. get your eggs and whiskey ready tomorrow, because the Flames are playing in Ottawa at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. For Maddie and I, that's a 1 p.m. time, so I'll still have eggs and whiskey at 1 p.m. Probably not the eggs. Definitely going to need some whiskey. Flames and Ottawa Senators tomorrow. Hopefully something good happens. Thank you for joining us here on the Tinderbox, and we will catch you next.